Welcome to A Closer Look. For KSKA, I'm Len Anderson. Today's Closer Look focuses on the Title 21 rewrite project of Anchorage's Land Development Code in the Municipal Charter. Title 21 is a big endeavor, literally. It's over 630 pages. And the rewrite has consumed a lot of time, about 10 years so far, and occupied citizen groups, professional organizations, a couple of mayoral administrations, municipal departments, especially the planning division, the Anchorage Assembly, and its own long-standing Title 21 committee. Despite all this time and work and bulk, or maybe because of it, the Title 21 rewrite project and the increasing controversy arising over it remains confusing to many Anchorage residents. In the first of what will be periodic programs on the topic, KSKA presents a general description of the Title 21 project. Later Closer Look editions will focus on the various development philosophies and the increasingly heated political battles as amendments to the provisionally approved rewrite move from the mayor's office to planning and zoning, then to the Assembly's committee, and eventually to the Anchorage Assembly itself. Despite the many positions toward Title 21, there is agreement on one aspect.
It's absolutely a necessary venture to undertake, absolutely important.
There are many elements to building a city, and all of those are articulated in the code.
Debbie Osiander, chair of the Anchorage Assembly, and Cheryl Richardson, director of the Anchorage Citizens Coalition. Both have an extended relationship with the Title 21 rewrite project. Osiander's tour began 7 years ago, shortly after she was elected to her first term on the Assembly and asked to join the Title 21 committee. Richardson's involvement is even longer. It goes back a decade. Osiander and Richardson were contacted separately for their Title 21 insights. The first question to Osiander? Just what is Title 21?
The way Anchorage municipal law is set up, it's divided into chapters or titles, and each title deals with a distinct situation or concern. For example, Title 17 is everything about animals, dog licensure, and what you have to do when you keep a litter of animals in your house or in your yard. Title 2 is about the structure of the city government in terms of its assembly. Title 21 is about land use planning. Everything that is related to how we use land and what restrictions the city puts on development of land. And as such, it's a pretty big deal for a lot of folks. The decision to go ahead and hire initially a contractor to rewrite Title 21 was made by the Assembly for two main reasons. And this is prior to my tenure on the body. One reason was we just completed a fairly extensive review of the Anchorage Bowl Comprehensive Plan and created something called Anchorage 2020 that set a pretty new vision for the city. And the current code didn't really mesh well with that plan. The other reason that it needed to be rewritten, way back in unification days, what we did, I think, as a way of getting votes and getting buy-in into unification is we took everybody's language and kind of pushed it all together. And it wasn't melded, artistically. It was melded in sort of a haphazard fashion. And so it doesn't flow well. There's pieces that come in unexpected places and pieces that you have to look for that you find in later sections. There's actually some internal contradictions in the document. Additionally, even after we meshed everything together, we made it even prettier by amending the heck out of it. So over all these years since unification back in the 70s, there have been many, many, many amendments to Title 21. And unfortunately, what occurred was when that process happened, there was just that one particular section that was amended, but there was never a thorough examination to see if there were any implications for other sections or other places where things were mentioned.
Cheryl Richardson says when the Anchorage Citizens Coalition formed in the 1990s, it was in response to hillside development and water drainage problems. A couple of years later, when the comprehensive plan, Anchorage 2020, was created, it was only natural for the coalition to take a high interest in the vision and its implementation.
As you can imagine, if we're looking for responsible development, then we've paid very close attention to the comprehensive plan that was created in the late 1990s, just as we were forming, and adopted in 2001. From the Anchorage 2020 comprehensive plan, which describes the future of our city, we have to create a land use code. We have to create zoning and development rules for how we're going to become that beautiful city that was described in Anchorage 2020.
Richardson says the existing Title 21 code hardly promotes the 2020 vision of Anchorage and often hinders its realization. Her description of its shortcomings is similar to Oceander's.
Right now we have rules about how tall the buildings are, how far they're set back from the streets, how much landscaping has to go around them, where your water drains to, if you have snow melt. These all have rules. And those rules are very out of date for Anchorage. Again, it was a patchwork that went over decades. And so there are new federal rules on water quality. There are new community values that people want to be able to walk more and have some landscaping along the street. A lot of people want to be able to walk to work. And so we need more affordable housing near our employment centers, which are currently downtown, midtown, University Medical District, the airport, and some would say Diamond Center.
You're listening to A Closer Look, a program in which KSKA examines more deeply issues occurring in Anchorage news stories. In this case, it's more of a recurring topic. The Title 21 Rewrite Project has consumed almost a decade of public meetings, committee meetings, and assembly meetings. But despite all that, or maybe in part because of the time involved plus the rewrite's complexity, Title 21 remains vague for many Anchorage residents. In this program, we're concentrating on simply describing Title 21. In future Closer Looks, we'll examine the growing disagreements arising from the rewrite. The two individuals interviewed for this Title 21 description are Debbie Oceander, chair of the Anchorage Assembly, and Cheryl Richardson, director of Anchorage Citizens Coalition. Oceander agrees with Richardson that many of the new Title 21 code requirements, large portions of which have been provisionally approved by the Anchorage Assembly, emphasize appearance.
The old Title 21 didn't really go much into how things looked. It was more nuts and bolts. You know, you have to set back so far from your property line. You can only cover this percentage of the lot. The new document contains language that actually reflects a little bit on aesthetics and requires more detail in landscaping, in setbacks on lots for things like snow storage, dumpster screening, and there's new height restrictions in many zones, and there's a lot of attention paid for situations where properties with different uses are adjacent to each other and what kind of buffering is required. So there really is a strong difference in orientation in the total document in the provisionally adopted to the current.
Richardson says many of those aesthetic changes were initially presented by Clarion Associates, an urban planning consultant firm hired in the early stages of the rewrite. She says the planning choices the firm presented fostered a long series of community meetings.
This stuff is technical. I mean, how do we know what 25-foot setback looks like? And how do we know the caliper of a tree or how many parking places we need to go shopping in a grocery store? So Anchorage Citizens Coalition partnered with the municipality in about 2005. And we were working off one of those drafts that Clarion had prepared. And held public workshops in City Hall two nights a week. We started off with two workshops per night, and then we did it twice a week. And we invited everybody in the community to come in. We had a really good mix of people participate in analyzing what was in those draft Title 21 documents, and then picking out what concerned people the most, what they liked the most or didn't like the most. And we would have small groups of up to 10, 12, 15 people choose among themselves which issues they would discuss and forward recommendations to the municipal staff. It went on for months. It was very exciting. We had developers, we had home builders, we had citizen activists, air quality people, water quality people. It was great.
Richardson says commercial areas presented a challenge to the groups.
We had two business districts under the old code. That was B1, which is a neighborhood business similar to Sagaya's at 13th and I. Or our other building code opportunity was B3. This was a problem. It's known as the Wild West zoning code. Anything goes. You can have commercial, you can have strip clubs, you can have skyscrapers. So one of the goals of Title 21 was to get that B3 zoning under control. And to do that, one big change is instead of being allowed to build any height you prefer on this land, you'll now be restricted to 45 feet. Unless you go into a mixed-use development, which is another major goal in the code, to put together neighborhood centers so that people can walk from their homes to shopping or to daycare or to get your laundry. You don't have to take the car and stop on the way home. You can do this on foot if you choose. So a mixed-use district would take potentially some of the old malls we have around on our major corners, our old Safeway and Car malls, and transform those buildings so that people can shop on the main floor and then live above. Or you would have shopping in the mall area, and you would have concentrated higher density development very close to the mall.
Richardson acknowledges that Title 21 issues can be complex. She offers advice to residents who are beginning to realize that the rewrite project will have a profound impact upon the future look and functioning of Anchorage, and likely on them as well.
You know, if people are interested in a real quick overview, illustrated overview of what's in Title 21, municipal staff just this last March prepared a really good history of city planning and Title 21 in a PowerPoint presentation. I'm sure it's available on the website. And if you come through that document, it's only 20 slides or so. It's not bad at all. They talk about new zoning strategies to support infill and redevelopment. You can see infill going in right now in Midtown. We're getting new high-rise buildings. So Midtown and downtown are prime targets for infill. I live near downtown in a single-family home, and people are remodeling, so those rules need to be established. How will my neighbor's remodel affect my sunlight? How will a new high-rise building on Fireweed affect all those homes to the north of there? How will their sunlight be affected? How will their gardens grow after that new high-rise goes in? So that's a key issue. Another key issue is efficient use of commercial land. For years, Anchorage has been free and easy rezoning residential land into commercial. And that's, in many cases, how we got our strip malls that people complain bitterly about. So this new code tries to protect both commercial and industrial land. And so we'll have enough for the future. But we won't infringe upon the neighborhoods that are afraid of having a commercial use pop in next door.
To help our listeners better understand Title 21, we have put some Municipal Planning Division links on our alaskapublic.org website. They include overview descriptions, frequently asked questions, and a list with the text of Title 21 sections that the Assembly has provisionally approved. Osiander says that as the Assembly's Title 21 Committee worked in minute detail over specific code items, what she calls global issues emerged. For example,
what happens if somebody owns a piece of property and their zoning district vanishes? Or changes rapidly to a different zoning district? Or they've got a use that's currently allowed but under the new code is no longer allowed? Is that a taking? Is that an instance where eminent domain is required? Are we going to have to reimburse people? We were very interested in that because at the time there had been a Supreme Court case relating to eminent domain and the restrictions that government had when they moved forward with takings. Additionally, we discovered through the municipal attorney's research, Fred Boness, that the Alaska State Constitution has some very strong language against any kind of government taking and really puts a higher premium on private property rights than you see in many other states. So because of that, we discovered almost immediately that we'd have to be very, very careful with each single item that could be considered a taking. And we needed to pay particular concern to folks who already had put in, had an economic interest in developing a particular property a certain way.
That global concern leads to another broad issue, grandfathering.
We have what's now considered legal nonconformities because we basically grandfathered when we moved into new situations where the zoning code changed. But what we are doing in the provisionally adopted is saying something different, saying that you can move incrementally towards the new standard. You don't necessarily have the blanket grandfathering in all cases. A big significant difference in this code is its primary focus on land use in many zoning districts is reflected in a chapter that just is tables. Basically says, in R5, you can do this, 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 this. Very specific. And that's not at all how it's approached now or how the old code dealt with it. And because of that, we're now potentially going to be outlawing a use that was legal instead of a building type that was legal or illegal.
This code is very generous in terms of those of us who would not meet the new standards being allowed to grandfather in our current parking or our current landscaping or other issues. If you typically spend a certain percent of your building value remodeling, then some of the new code things have to kick in.
You're listening to KSKA's A Closer Look, with this edition focusing on Title 21 and the long-continuing effort to rewrite the portion of Anchorage's municipal code dealing with land use and development. I'd like to repeat that on our alaskapublic.org website, we've posted links to the Planning Division website files concerning Title 21. That includes the content of the changed chapters and whether or not they have received provisional approval from the Anchorage Assembly. Osiander says that tentative approval does not mean those sections are complete or necessarily workable.
To give you an example, you know that backyard chicken ordinance we just did? Initially, I introduced exactly what was in the provisionally adopted. And I'd asked the attorney to craft it to make sure there were no contradictions anywhere because there's some parts that weren't carried through, right? Well, planning and code enforcement were very, very, very concerned. And they sent me a full page of changes they thought should be made. Even though they supported and we 100% adopted it originally, it didn't work when it translated into today's era because people have thought about it more, I guess, or have more specific concerns. That's a tiny one, and that's really easy to fix. But some bigger ones are we have these reserved sections. I'll just read off some of them. Exterior lighting. We have two zoning districts that don't have any description at all, the Midtown 1 and Midtown 2, which is supposed to be the dense part of Midtown and the peripheral Midtown. The airport district is still not described. The downtown district is still not described. We still need to define how to differentiate between rural and urban, because we've got different standards in place for rural and urban.
Also unfinished is the separate Title 21 chapter for Chugiak Eagle River, which has many code and zoning issues that differ from the Anchorage Bowl area. Likewise, Girdwood also has some code items particular to its area. Oceander does take considerable pride in what has been accomplished so far.
This may sound funny, but to me, the most appealing thing is that it's clear and logically laid out. You can go to a specific chapter and find out what the uses are. You go to another separate chapter in the title and you find out what lot sizes are. And because it's a unified body, we've done a whole lot, I think, for people just having that. But beyond that, this new document really looks at the city, I think, in a more mature way. It looks at uses that are allowed rather than building sizes. It sets new standards for connectivity and walkability. There's a lot of language about passage between places for walkers and bike riders. There's a lot of language that really deals with some of the problems we've had to face when we've got residential lots next to heavy industry. We talked too in here about not only issues like sight and sound, but also I think just to make it so that there isn't one bad impact on one versus another.
Richardson agrees much has been accomplished, but worries about a traditional Anchorage response to advancing code requirements.
Clarion said that most other cities in the nation, if you put in a subdivision, then you provide space for a park, you provide space for a school, or if your subdivision is smaller, then you at least pay a fee to the government so that it goes into a kitty, a fund that will eventually pay for parks and schools. But that was nixed very early in the process because the business community said they couldn't afford that. Now, I don't know how they afford it in all these other cities around the nation, but that was considered to be a cost that was too great. So now you and I are the ones who pay for finding the school sites and establishing the parks. I remember when Tom Fink was mayor, he tried to eliminate the Urban Design Commission. He said it was just not helping anything and it cost a lot of money. And by George, he had a conservative assembly at that time, and they said no. Do you remember what Anchorage looked like before we had the Urban Design Commission? We do not want to go back there. And I was quite impressed. Today, people are making the same complaints. I'll tell another old story. When I started working on these things, probably in the 80s, the early 80s, it was a given that we couldn't afford sidewalks. We definitely couldn't afford trails. Those were frills. They were not needed for people to get transported around town. And who was using them anyway? Do you count the number of people? Nobody's using those things. Too expensive for not enough benefit. Today, I think that's changed. I think people expect decent landscaping. They expect it to survive over the winter, still look good in the spring, and they expect to have a safe sidewalk. And of course, we love our trails. They are one of the biggest successes and really a signature piece for making Anchorage livable.
Currently, work on the Title 21 rewrite is at a standstill in the Assembly. The Assembly has not scheduled a vote to place the provisionally approved chapters officially within the Municipal Charter, nor is the Title 21 Committee continuing its exact examinations and changes to those unfinished portions described by Oceander. Last summer, Mayor Dan Sullivan contracted with former Assembly member Dan Coffey to work on possible amendments to the provisional version. Coffey is a commercial property owner who's also served on Anchorage's Planning and Zoning Commission. He generally takes positions closer to developers and commercial property owners. His contract with the mayor ended July 1st. Oceander says the assembly is now awaiting a Title 21 amendment package from Mayor Dan Sullivan. Her committee decided to suspend its meetings and examinations until it could include the administration's proposals. At the time of her Closer Look interview, Oceander expected to be able to post the mayor's recommendations for public review by mid-July, with eventual passage of the complete Title 21 changes by early 2012. But in a mid-July press conference after the interview, Mayor Sullivan described a quicker passage schedule, but with a later public access to his proposed Title 21 single package changes.
The timeline was we received them July 1st. Legal is reviewing, and hopefully their review will be complete by the end of the month. The planning department is reviewing. Theirs is about a 45-day review process, so we're going to be looking at mid to late August before they're complete with their review. But then keep in mind what has to happen is all those suggestions, comments have to then be reviewed by myself and my staff and crafted into an ordinance. And that's going to be the challenging part because you know, some of these things are suggestions and then where to put them into an ordinance or what you would replace. So we actually have to draft a new ordinance in order to bring this thing to a public document. Because right now it's a series of notes and suggestions and comments that all have to be integrated into a final document. So I'm thinking by probably mid-September we may have a draft available. We'd like to have it in front of the Planning and Zoning Commission by mid to late September, and then in front of the Assembly approximately a month later, and then maybe final action somewhere in the November, December timeframe. So before the end of the year, our goal is to have the final document approved by the Assembly.
The mayor says as passed to the planning and legal departments, the bulky amendment draft is not ready for the general public.
Keep in mind, a lot of that is notes, narrative type of things about why a suggestion was made, that sort of stuff. So that may all boil down to one sentence in code. That's why it's really hard right now for the public to have, I guess, for the public review to start too soon because, again, we have not digested all that and come forth with our own document that will officially represent the administration's position on Title 21. And so we're probably a couple months away from that.
Mayor Sullivan says when he does formally introduce his amendment package to Title 21, it will come as an omnibus bill, meaning a single complete package rather than as individual recommendations. That means Assembly members and the general public will have to work through the complete document, and the Assembly would have to choose specific portions of the mayor's package to eliminate or alter via an amendment process. That's why Assembly Chair Oceander says she has every intention to make the mayor's proposal also go through the Assembly's Title 21 Committee, as well as the Planning and Zoning Commission. Assembly members need the time, she said after the mayor's press conference. She adds, equally important, the public needs an additional chance to speak at the committee's meetings. As those Planning and Zoning Commission deliberations, along with the Assembly's committee meeting occur, KSKA will revisit Title 21 in future A Closer Look programs. In those editions, we'll emphasize the various positions and conflicts arising over the rewrite changes. Again, a reminder that we've posted Planning Division links concerning the Title 21 rewrite project on our alaskapublic.org website. You've been listening to A Closer Look, a production of KSKA-FM, Anchorage, Alaska. Thanks to Debbie Oceander, Chair of the Anchorage Assembly, and Cheryl Richardson, Director of the Anchorage Citizens Coalition, for participating. And thank you for listening. For KSKA, this is Len Anderson.